Well, hello, everybody. This is episode 24 of the Prepper Guy podcast, and I just want to tell you this is not really going to be your typical Christmas edition, but I figured since they did the Republican debate during Christmas season, then why can't I do a review of the debate the day or two before Christmas? So I'm going to talk a little bit about it. I'm going to try to pull out some of the things that happened that I thought were important and see if we can figure out just what's going on.
Hump day, yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I'm a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road.
Okay, so let's get the ball rolling. I watched the Republican debate, tried not to have my eyes glaze over, as Chris Christie said, but there were some important points in the debate, and I thought we could talk about some of the more critical ones, which was basically that everyone on that stage, except Rand Paul and Donald Trump, want to take us to war with Russia and get us killed. Now, they're saying it's in the name of fighting ISIS, but Jesus, can we face facts here? It's like, yeah, we have an enemy called ISIS, but I don't think we need to go to war with Russia over that. ISIS is ISIS, and we're fighting it improperly, and we're not doing things right. We're in bed with the wrong people, basically, and that's kind of why I like Donald Trump, because I don't think he gets in bed with either political party, because he just doesn't give a shit about them. I like him because I don't think he'll play the game like most politicians do, and he won't get sucked into that bullshit little game that they do in Washington, with, you know, or the machine or the vacuum. He'll just go, this is what we need to do. He has the support of the people, so he can say some pretty outrageous things, and people still support him. And that's kind of important. So I like him on that front. Like I've said before, I don't really know what he's thinking. So that kind of worries me. But then I don't know what any of them are thinking. Now, I like Rand Paul, and I wish his numbers were higher. And I'm sure he has the support of just as many people as Donald Trump. Unfortunately, there's no noise. It's not getting covered. And they're marginalizing him like they did his dad. So I think that I'm going to have to cede the point and have to probably vote for the Republican nomination, and that'll probably be Trump unless they really pull some shenanigans in the GOP, which they're known to do all the time. So it's frustrating, and yet it can be refreshing. I think with Putin saying that he kind of could be friends with Donald Trump, I think that's great. Because in spite of how the media has tried to spin this thing with Russia, Russia has been our ally in quite a few wars. And so they're not evil people. They're pretty much like what we learned in high school history and stuff, what they called WASP, W-A-S-P, White Anglo-Saxon Protestant. So it was not a racially charged term. Don't get all pissed off. But Russia is kind of the same. They're a Christian nation, just like we're supposed to be. They're mostly from Europe, like most of us. Their values are based on a religious creed, which is, you know, they don't call it Judeo-Christian, but they are Christian people. And so I don't see the reason why everyone hates them so damn much. So we're going to talk a little bit, you know, I'm going to interject my thoughts into some of the points that they brought up in the debate. And then you just kind of let me know what you think of that kind of format.
The question is, how do we keep America safe from terrorism? Trump says we ought to close that internet thing. The question really is, what does he mean by that? Like they do in North Korea? Rubio says we should collect all Americans' records all of the time. I think if we ban certain religions, if we censor the internet, I think that at that point the terrorists will have won.
That's an interesting point, Mr. Rand Paul, because quite frankly, I've been hearing that since 9/11, that if it changes who we are, then they have won. Well, if we ban the internet, and I do think what Trump was saying about banning that particular part of the internet, it wouldn't be a bad thing. But we can't just stop fighting this war, and we can't stop using our common sense. We must attack and fight on a certain level. But the point is, do we need to even be fighting this war? I mean, Russia's doing a pretty good job blowing up the bad guys. So why are we even involved at this point? I mean, it's been, 14 years, and we're still fiddle-fucking around in there.
And this last weekend, a friend asked one of my daughters, do you like politics? And my daughter said, no, I don't. There's too much fighting, too much yelling. It's so loud, I don't like it.
Politics have always been loud. The founding fathers argued and debated. There was a little bit more common sense and reason involved. But these are issues that must be discussed by we, the American people, and our politicians. And so, yes, there's going to be spirited debate and arguing all around. But if you don't like the arguing and the bickering, Mr. Kasich, then back out of the race. Because that's the way it's been forever, and that's the way it will be forever. And so arguing and bickering has its place. Now, I don't think going to fistfights and screaming and making it non-productive is not a good thing. But there's going to be arguing. Get over it.
America is at war. Our enemy is not violent extremism. It is not some unnamed malevolent force. It is radical Islamic terrorism.
Well, Ted Cruz is right, as most times he is, because he's a pretty constitutional kind of guy. We have an enemy, and I don't know why we keep talking about we got to keep fighting. I mean, you get to a point in a fight to where you just go, yeah, I've had enough. And then when you sit back and reflect on it, you go, I don't even know why I got into that argument, that fight, that war in the first place. Yeah, they attacked us on 9/11, but it wasn't these people that attacked us. It was the Saudis and sponsored terrorism from them. And then we went off to Iraq and created a power vacuum that has now created ISIS. I'm tired of this war, and I'm tired of this enemy, and there's a lot of ways to destroy them without costing us a fortune. So we're doing a lot of talking tonight in the debate about this war on ISIS, and it would have been a great drinking game every time they mentioned ISIS and extremists and radical terrorism. The simple fact is, yeah, we're at war with them. It's kind of an ideology, and it's kind of a religion because their religion is also a form of government. So they don't have separation of church and state. So call it whatever you want. Like Bush said, you can call it a banana, but it's still a banana. So we're at war. It kind of is a religious war, and you can't get to the banana until you peel the skin, and the skin is the religion. What's inside of it is what we need to take care of. And all this talk and this debate is not going to take care of anything.
You say you want to temporarily ban non-American Muslims from coming to the United States, ban refugees fleeing ISIS from coming here, deport 11 million people, and wall off America's southern border. Is the best way to make America great again to isolate it from much of the rest of the world?
We're not talking about religion. We're talking about security. I will build a wall. It'll be a great wall. People will not come in unless they come in legally. And if I'm president, and if Obama has brought some to this country, they are leaving. They're going. They're gone.
And quite frankly, that's how most of America feels. So I don't know what the big deal is with all of this, because that's how we feel. We might not have as much angst or animosity about it, but we're tired of these people just coming in, stomping all over our yard, taking a dump in our front yard, and then getting mad at us because we say, hey, we're tired of cleaning up your crap. Get out of my yard. You can put it as politically as you want, but the simple fact is, I'm tired of them being here, and they're the enemy. And they've told us so. So I don't see why they can't leave. I don't think it's a bad idea at all.
Banning all Muslims will make it harder for us to do exactly what we need to do, which is to destroy ISIS.
So you have said banning Muslims is unconstitutional. But according to a recent ABC News Washington Post poll, a majority of Republicans support Mr. Trump's idea.
I'm sorry, but that is not unconstitutional. It's been done before, and it can be done again. And we don't need a constitutional amendment to protect our borders. That is the number one purpose of a federal government, is to keep us safe and to protect our borders. And regardless if we call it a religion or whatever it is, we've figured out who the enemy is, where they're coming from, and we need to stop it. It's not unconstitutional. Other presidents have done similar things. The only difference is the word religion. We're Muslim. We have every right to tell them, take a hike and get out of our yard, like I said before. So I'm really tired of this whining about what is and what is not constitutional when we have presidents and congresses and senates that have done things that are so unconstitutional in the past and we haven't even blinked. It's time we figure out what the hell the Constitution really is and how we can use it to our good and not to theirs, meaning the enemy or the immigrants or the politicians or the corporations.
I want to talk to the audience at home for a second. If your eyes are glazing over like mine, this is what it's like to be on the floor of the United States Senate. I mean, endless debates about how many angels on the head of a pin from people who never had to make a consequential decision in an executive position.
So that's an interesting point by Mr. Christie. And it's kind of true because our eyes do tend to glaze over listening to some of this stuff. But the simple fact is that there is a reason why there's three branches of government. There is a reason why there's a division and different powers for each. And that is so that knee-jerk reactions aren't acted upon until it's been fully vetted and debated and talked about. So I'm kind of wondering what Mr. Christie's thoughts would be on making a good executive decision. Let's hear what he thinks about a no-fly zone.
Governor Christie, if the U.S. imposed a no-fly zone over Syria and a Russian plane encroached and invaded that no-fly zone, would you be prepared to shoot down that Russian plane?
Not only would I be prepared to do it, I would do it. A no-fly zone means a no-fly zone. Wolf, that's what it means. See, maybe because I'm from New Jersey, I just have this kind of plain language hangout. But, and yes, we would shoot down the planes of Russian pilots if, in fact, they were stupid enough to think that this president was the same feckless weakling that the president we have in the Oval Office is right now.
Okay, so I will hand it to him on the feckless president part. But, and maybe if our president wasn't so inept and ridiculously a pushover and maybe even a supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood, then maybe none of this would even be happening. But the simple fact is it is happening. And the one thing I don't think Chris Christie is taking into consideration, and that's why we have debates and talks and discussions in the Senate, is because you got to consider the fact that Syria is Russia's ally. That would be like Russia coming in and telling us that they're establishing a no-fly zone over Israel. It's our ally. We're invited there by our ally, and we have the first right to choose whether to fly there or not. So we forget that we're not as big and bad as we think we are, and the simple fact is that Russia and Syria are allies. And if Syria wants them flying in their airspace, we have nothing to say or do about it. And Rand Paul brought that point up. They've been flying there for a long time. They have a base there now. So we are really tucking out of our ass when we say something like a no-fly zone, because Russia will not put up with that kind of crap and that rhetoric. And if Chris Christie ordered a no-fly zone and shot down a Russian aircraft, I'm pretty sure Russia would respond the same way we would if one of our fighter jets were shot down in some arbitrarily opposed no-fly zone over any of our allies. So maybe a little debate would be good.
Well, I think if you're in favor of World War III, you have your candidate. My goodness, what we want in a leader is someone with judgment, not someone who is so reckless as to stand on the stage and say, yes, I'm jumping up and down, I'm going to shoot down Russian planes. I mean, I think when we think about the judgment of someone who might want World War III...
Dr. Carson, who was right in that little debate we just heard between Senator Rubio and Senator Paul?
I think you have to ask them about that. I don't want to get in between them. Let them fight.
Well, here's a shining example why I have a problem with Ben Carson. He's a nice guy, and I like him, and he's highly educated, but he is all over the map when it comes to some of his policies, especially regarding the Constitution. And I think he would lead from a it-feels-good mindset. The simple fact that the debate that he was talking about between the two debaters was pretty cut and dry. If you're for Rubio and his immigration and his overstepping constitutional law and being involved in our life, no matter what it is, whether it's spying or NSIA or whatever they call it now, the American Safety Act or whatever, and Cruz and even Paul talking, you know, the other way about the issue and talking constitutional. I think if someone were to ask me, well, who do you think won the debate? I'd say, well, based on the Constitution and how I feel about the way I would run the country, I think Senator Cruz was right. And, you know, sucks to be Rubio, but he's wrong. He's wrong on so many levels when it comes to that. He's really smart when it comes to foreign policy and how to get us into a war. And how to get us killed, maybe. But that's not the kind of president I want. And so I would have liked to heard, you know, Ben Carson actually answer that question. But he sidestepped it like you'd probably do in other issues, because he's not going to take a point or a policy or make a decision based on the Constitution. So I'm a purist. What can I say?
Yes, it is true that I voted against the National Defense Authorization Act because when I campaigned in Texas, I told voters in Texas that I would oppose the federal government having the authority to detain U.S. citizens permanently with no due process.
If you're an American citizen and you decide to join up with ISIS, we're not going to read you your Miranda rights. You're going to be treated as an enemy combatant, a member of an army attacking this country.
So there you have it when you're talking about Rubio. Yeah, if somebody's wearing an ISIS flag, then you shoot them and blow them up and no one really cares. But when we're talking about American civilians, he's assuming that you've maybe given your mental allegiance to the enemy. Well, what about due process? He is so wrong. I mean, if they read your internet and your social media and all of a sudden some red flag goes off and they decide to come and arrest you, don't you want them to actually prove to you what you were doing, actually talk to you and go, what did you mean by that? Actually, maybe talk to some of your neighbors and friends that have known you for years and find out it was just beer talking? No, Rubio's saying, hey, as far as we're concerned, we're not going to read you your Miranda rights. We're just going to chuck your ass in a gulag somewhere, and no one will even be able to hire you an attorney. I think that's BS. And the clip was kind of shortened, but the reality is that's what Rubio was saying. You know, you've signed up, you've kind of made an allegiance to ISIS, and we're just going to come and, you know, disappear you. It's wrong, and Rubio's wrong on so many levels. He's too young to understand things, and I don't think age is a problem, but he's a war hawk. And when he's talking about my constitutional freedoms on American soil, you better read me my Miranda rights no matter what you think.
You said ISIS grew stronger because of the hawks in your party. Do you really think that Republicans have fueled the rise of ISIS?
If you are going to kill the families of terrorists, realize that there's something called the Geneva Convention we're going to have to pull out of. So when you ask yourself, whoever you are, that think you're going to support Donald Trump, think, do you believe in the Constitution? Are you going to change the Constitution? So they can kill us, but we can't kill them.
Was getting rid of Saddam Hussein a pretty good deal?
There's often variations of evil on both sides of the war. What we have to decide is whether or not regime change is a good idea. Out of regime change, you get chaos. From the chaos, you've seen repeatedly the rise of radical Islam, because they allow terrorism to arise out of that chaos.
That's what you say. And as far as the internet is concerned, I'm talking about parts of Syria, parts of Iraq, where ISIS is. What I like even better than that is getting our smartest and getting our best to infiltrate their internet. I like that better. But we have to... It would be... I just can't imagine somebody booing. These are people that want to kill us, folks. And you're objecting to us infiltrating their conversations? I don't think so.
Dr. Carson, is the Middle East better off with dictators? There comes a time, you know, when you're on an airplane, they always say, in case of an emergency, oxygen masks will drop down, put yours on first, and then administer help to your neighbor. We need oxygen right now, and we need to start thinking about the needs of the American people before we go and try to solve everybody else's problems.
Why are you better qualified to deal with Vladimir Putin than Mr. Trump?
Because I know what I don't know. I won't get my information from the shows. I don't know if that's Saturday morning or Sunday morning. I don't know which one. I hope they know that if I'm president, I'll be a commander-in-chief, not an agitator-in-chief or a divider-in-chief, that I will lead this country in a way that will create greater security and greater safety.
You co-authored a bill with Democrats 2 years ago that allowed a path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants. Do you still support that path to citizenship?
And here's what we learned in 2013. The American people don't trust the federal government to enforce our immigration laws. And we will not be able to do anything on immigration until we first prove to the American people that illegal immigration is under control. I am personally open, after all of that has happened, and after 10 years in that probationary status where all they have is a work permit, I personally am open to allowing people to apply for a green card. That may not be a majority position in my party, but that's down the road. You can't even begin that process until you prove to people, not just pass a law that says you're going to bring illegal immigration under control. You're going to have to do it and prove to people that it's working.
If the Bible clearly states that we need to embrace those in need and not fear, how can we justify not accepting refugees?
Governor Christie, what do you say to Carla? What I say to Carla is that the first job of the President of the United States is to protect your safety and your security and the security and safety of your family.
So, all right, that's the end of that nonsense. So I think, you know, I watched most of the debate because for some reason my Hopper wasn't wanting to record it. And it was giving me some shit. So I watched most of it. And then when my wife came home, then I rewound it all and watched it again. And now I've just watched all the highlights and I've been listening to the news and everything. And it's really kind of sad in America when you look at it, because who are we getting all of our information from? The media. And they have their political spin on that and their agenda. It's hard as an American to actually look at it. And I've told people in my posts and I think on some of my shows and podcasts that you need to look at things a little bit more critically, meaning critical thinking. A lot of people probably hate when I mention Alex Jones. Well, Alex Jones is kind of extreme and they go, oh, he's always yelling and screaming. That just means he's passionate. He's not angry. But when you study and look into the things he's saying, he's pointing out facts. Facts that are out there that can be Googled and researched, and you go, holy shit, that's exactly what was said. That's exactly what was done. That's exactly what we did. So if you're going to be into critical thinking, you have to look at other avenues. For years, I was very close-minded about anything that was said by the Democrats. And then the more I start looking at it, I'm like, well, you know, they had a point there. You know, now that's not to say that even a clock, you know, is, you know, a clock that doesn't work is right twice a day. A lot of their points have been right on the money about some of these things. And when they said, you know, they being the Democrats said that, you know, a lot of these wars were over oil, that offended me as a patriot and having, you know, a lot of family members have been in the military or son was in Iraq. And so it kind of hits you on a visceral level. But the reality is it's about oil. We have a treaty with the House of Saud, or Saud, or however the hell you say it, back in 1931 that we would protect them if they would use the American dollar as the petrodollar. This secured a lot of financial greatness, I guess, for America, because everything was denominated in American dollars. So that kind of helped us be in the game. We had our stake in the game, and it helped us in a lot of ways. Now, you could go back and study all that, and there's been some good and bad about it. But let's face facts. On 9/11, right after that, George Bush, when all the airplanes were grounded and no one could go anywhere, at least no one in America, he took the royal family that was here in America during 9/11, which is kind of a freaking coincidence, and let them board planes and fly home. And that's because we have treaties with them. And that is the main thing. So when you sit there and go, it's about oil, it is about oil. We're pissed off at Russia because Russia, China, Brazil, India, they're all saying we're not going to use the dollar for oil. And for a long time we said, well, you can't do that. And we've destroyed a lot of countries because they didn't want to use the U.S. dollar. Well, Russia and China are big enough. They just go, well, what are you going to do? Not let us play in your swimming pool? We got our own swimming pool over here. And now the BRIC nations have set up their own way of doing business to where they're not using the dollar for oil. This pisses off a lot of wealthy people. Let's just say that. So we as a political party, I guess, or nation, you know, are pissed off at Russia because they're not playing the same game that we're playing. But as Americans, we shouldn't be that mad about it. Russia's a good country. The people are really good. And when you look at it, you know, you'll sit there and go, oh, well, these extremists hate us as Americans. They don't even know us as Americans. They know our politicians that we have said for hundreds of years, these politicians are our representatives. So basically, if someone from your company comes in and is representing you and is a jackass, I'm going to think your company is a jackass company. When in reality, maybe your company and your people are really great. It just happens to be that that representative that came into my store really pissed me off. I don't want to do business with you anymore. They look at us in the Middle East that way because our representatives go over there, they lie, they stir up and kick the hornet's nest. And when all this shit goes down, they come flying back here and go, we got a new enemy over there. Let's go over there and kick some ass. But the reality is, we don't feel that way. The Russian people are great people. I've met a lot of them. They are just salt of the earth, good people. Have they been through some bad times with the gulags and communism? Sure they were. They had their problems, but you know, America's had our problems. But hopefully people change and grow up. So Putin's trying to do a lot of good things for his country. So when he says he likes Trump, I'm thinking, you know, Trump might not be a policy expert as far as in the political field, but I think he could talk to Putin and come to an agreement that, hey, you know, you want to kill these bad guys, the bad guys in ISIS. We want to kill them. You're doing a bang-up job over there. Keep it up, buddy. No, we have to go over there and go, we don't like it because you're killing the bad guys that we kind of support. You know, you look at all these ISIS that are beheading people and all that shit in the news, they're driving U.S. Humvees. It's not like they went to Sheffy and bought a Humvee. That's military equipment that we've given them. So look between the lines and over the bullshit and go, holy crap, they're driving American tanks, American Humvees. They're using American weapons. It's just mind-numbing. There was a story back, you know, in the day when a Russian MiG pilot defected from Russia, and he flew here and landed in Hawaii, I think, or no, he made it to Japan, and then we got the plane because we wanted that technology to figure it out and just to see how it ticked. And he said he knew that his communist government was lying to him because when in the media they would show him all these pictures of America during the Depression, which he defected, I think he defected in the 80s. So even in the 80s, they were showing pictures of America breadlines during the Depression to scare the people. So once again, control the media and then you control the people. And he was smart enough to look at that and go, you know, if it's that bad there, how come on the side of the road with all these breadlines or all these brand new cars, how come they're dressed really nice? You know, he could look at the stores and still see that we had fully stocked stores. So he was smart enough to look through the lines and see the truth. And we need to do that. So I can't express enough that I think the stupidest thing said in that debate was Chris Christie's remark about shooting down a Russian fighter jet in a arbitrarily assessed no-fly zone by America. What the hell is he talking about? Do you think we would put up with that if Russia came in and said, you know, we're back in this other country now and Israel is a no-fly zone? We'd go, oh, okay, whatever, we're still flying there because we are invited here by our ally. And if they shot down one of our fighter jets, we would retaliate. Well, if we had a president that wasn't a ballsackless clown, but we would retaliate. You don't think that Russia wouldn't retaliate if we, an American fighter jet, shot down a Russian fighter jet? Are you kidding? They would flip out. So I think it's funny because Russia and Syria are allies, just like U.S. and Israel are allies. Now, you know, a lot of the political talk is boiling down to the fact that, well, somebody had a good plan of, you know, getting NATO involved. Russia doesn't like NATO because NATO is trying to invade their space by putting this missile defense system pointed at Russia on their borders. That's why this thing in Chimera, you know, was happening. It's because George Soros went in there and just started screwing things up and causing problems, and Russia had to respond. They didn't respond in totalitarian kind of ways. But they just went, hey, we're not going to put up with this. You know, this is our cold water port. Go to hell. Pound sand. This is ours. Well, what do we do in Cuba? Gitmo is our base. Cuba is a country, so just like, you know, in Chimera, that's part of a country. And yet we have our base there because we said, I don't care if Castro overthrew the government or not. This is our dirt. Stay off of it. And so they do. It's no different. So I'm not saying Putin is a great guy, but you know what? If I had to have a person making decisions that affected my children and my grandchildren and me, I'd rather be dealing with a guy like Putin and Trump than Obama and Putin, because Putin won't put up with Obama. He knows Obama is just a lying politician, that everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. And it's manipulative and it's gamesmanship. And he's trying to play chess, three-dimensional chess, with Putin, but all Obama has ever mastered is checkers. And Putin's not a dumbass. But, you know, and then they say, well, you know, Putin, you know, was in the KGB. Oh, my God, KGB. Russia had intelligence agency, too? Sure, back in the communist days, they were bad. But George Walker Bush, you know, senior, he was the head of the CIA. What's the difference? You know, well, the difference is that we sit there and call them names, and then we're all supposed to believe it, just like the Russian pilot that defected. They were the media and the government at that time, the Pravda and their propaganda machine, was telling people, look at how messed up it is in America. That's what capitalism gets you. Look at that. But they're smart enough people to look at it and go, that's just bullshit. I don't buy it. You're wasting your time. Well, when Obama's talking to Putin, Putin's just looking at him. It's like, I'm not an idiot. Now, as far as Trump being able to negotiate with a foreign government and work out problems and crises, do you think a billionaire doesn't work out problems every day? He has as many employees, probably 20 times more employees than the amount of people in Washington that he'll have to deal with. There's only 500 or so congressmen and senators. He's got more heads of hotels and staff than that. But what I'm saying is, a person that is that successful in business knows how to talk to people. He knows how to get his way if that's what he wants. He knows how to negotiate. And if push truly comes to shove, he knows how to back off enough to where it's a win-win situation. Where these politicians, they don't. They're just like little crybaby bullies on the playground. And every time you get a heads up in the game that you're playing with them, they either punch you or go off crying and tell the teacher some lie. They're annoying. So yeah, when I filter through all of the people still running, at least as far as Republicans, I'm down to Rand Paul and Trump. And as much as I would love Rand Paul to win, I don't see the numbers going that way. So I have to sit there and go, well, then out of all the remaining 12 or 13, I hope it's Trump, because he's smart. He's a businessman. He might seem like an arrogant prick, but he's a businessman. Don't think that he can't negotiate a deal. Don't think he can't get something done. If you can build a hotel in a corrupt country where there's their form of business is bribes and payoffs, and yet he can get that done, he knows how to negotiate. So he's got my support, because I'm seeing, you know, Rand Paul be marginalized and pushed off the stage by the media. And so we don't really get a choice. So since we don't get a choice, if Donald Trump can bully his way through the nomination process and win that debate, I'm not talking about the debate we watched on TV, but if he can out-negotiate the GOP that would like to kick him to the curb, and he gets the nomination and he's on that ballot, that tells you he knows how to maneuver very thick and muddy political waters. So if nothing else, that should help you feel a little better about the guy. The whole debate that was on the news was just a big letdown. Everyone wants to go to war. They don't even know why they want to go to war. There's no reason why we can't get these extremists out of our country, and then we don't have to worry about being attacked on American soil. And nobody in their right mind is stupid enough to try to attack us in a conventional war. So they're doing it this way. They're smart enough to look at the war game plan and go, we can't just go toe-to-toe with America. Well, what do? Well, let's just infiltrate them and just be like that stream of ants that just takes over your kitchen. To where the only options left is, you know, to basically nuke them, call Orkin or whatever, and Ortho or whoever the hell they are, and get rid of the ants. Because the more you let them in, the more they come in. The more they come in, the more obnoxious it is. So that's my thinking on all this. I could be wrong, and you're definitely welcome to send me an email and tell me, Mark, that way you put this program together really kind of sucked, and knock it off. But it's important. It's going to be Christmas, so you know we're getting, what, 6 weeks out from the voting in some states for primaries, and we're going to have to make a decision. So I wish we had a functioning electoral college, which it functions, but not the way it was set up. I wish we had three or four candidates and parties, and not just the Republicans and Democrats. But I wish we had, you know, a Tea Party, Bernie Sanders would be running under the Socialist Party, but it's easier to be a Democrat because there's that clout that goes with it. But with an electoral college, you wouldn't have that problem. You could have 10 candidates that you vote for, and the one that gets the most electoral college votes is the president. It's not a democracy to where it's a majority of 51, because that's me and my wife and you having a vote whether we should take over the ownership of your house. How do you think you're going to come out in that little election? So democracies suck. We're not a democracy. We're a representative republic. Get that bullshit out of your head. I pledge allegiance to the flag and for the republic for which it stands. Now, I chop that up a little bit because I'm a purist and I believe in the old Pledge of Allegiance that said, I pledge allegiance to my flag, which was your state flag. But that's a whole other subject for a whole other day. So we need to focus in on what's going to be really important in this election, and hopefully, you know, figure it out, because we're not using the Electoral College the way it was set up to be. That's why I read all these posts on Facebook and Twitter about how we should do away with it. Somebody that I know is quite conservative thinking said, well, we should do away with the Electoral College. And it's like, are you freaking high? And then once I explained to them how it works, and they're like, oh, well, that makes sense. It's like, of course it makes sense when you read how things work. If you're listening to the news, then you don't understand how anything works. So you have to do some research, because otherwise it's like reading the instructions when you're putting together a piece of furniture from IKEA. You're just better off to go do some research on your own, how this gets together, and get a concept of how it's going to look when it's put together, and then look at the directions for maybe the steps, and then figure those out and do your own thinking. Because if you just read the directions, like watching the news, it's not going to turn out like the picture that you bought on the front. So I don't know. I'm probably going to pass on putting together a podcast for the last week in December. It'll either be this one that I'll put after Christmas, or I'm going to put this one before Christmas, and you'll know when you download it. But I'm going to take a little break in there just because there's so much going on, just like with your family and everything, you know, during the holidays. I want y'all to think about, you know, what I said. If you want to put together a podcast, you'd like to maybe think about talking into a microphone and sending me a file would be totally awesome. I like ideas, not because I'm too lazy to think up my own ideas, but it's part of that critical thinking. If I can get your points of view and other people's points of view, I think we're going to end up with better content and a better program. And that's my idea. Because I can continue to ramble on about whatever it is that pops in my mindless little head sometimes. I'm pretty sure I'm going to do this before Christmas. So I'm going to say have a Merry Christmas. Enjoy your family. I've said that before. If Christmas isn't a family thing to you, be with your friends. Do something that you like doing. Like I've said, if you get the day off, take advantage of it. And do it however you want, and just enjoy your time. We're coming up on a new year, 2016. Set yourself some goals. I don't like goals, but I do like having a plan. And so come up with a plan, maybe go on a real diet and actually lose weight without having to go to the gym and torture yourself to death. There's ways to lose weight. I've talked about them. So we got 2016 coming up, and I think it's going to be a great year unless they screw it all up. I didn't talk much about, you know, the other candidates, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, only because they're just void to me. I won't vote for them. You couldn't pay me to vote for them. If you want a socialist and you want to destroy America, then by all means, go vote for them, because that's what they'll do. And if you can't critically think your way out of that box, then America's doomed anyway, and this podcast and your vote and this election does not count. But once we have a socialist in there, we're screwed. If you want to read a good book on that, read the book by Ayn Rand, We the Living. It's about the communist takeover of Russia, and you will see how great that nation was and what happened when they went into socialism and then communism. And you will feel it because it's from her point of view, even though it's not a biography of her life. She lived through that. And if that's what you want for America and your children or your grandchildren or even your friends, then vote for one of those two lying clowns. Doesn't matter to me, because whatever happens is going to happen. I just, once the election's over, then I can start planning in a new direction because, you know, we have to be fluid and move left, right, up, down, depending on whatever situation. That's why I don't talk about doomsday prepping, like, you know, how to prepare for zombies and stuff. Whatever happens to you is going to happen to you. Just be prepared for the basics. And that's why I say just stay alive. So I'm going to wrap it all up. I want to thank you all. I started doing podcasting back in July on my birthday. And it's been, 5 months or whatever. I think it's great. I really appreciate all the listeners. And I enjoy the seeing, you know, because I can kind of tell with statistics and stuff that it's kind of being shared and stuff like that. And I think it's awesome. I enjoy the hell out of it. I enjoy talking to all of you. I enjoy trying to bring a different angle of light onto a subject. Even if you personally feel that I am dead wrong and a jackass, that's okay, because it's good to be challenged. Because if I am wrong and you were right, it at least forced you to analyze your way of thinking and either determine you were right or wrong or in the middle. So no matter how you look at it, when you're challenged, it's a good thing. And so I enjoy it. And I'll keep doing it until they shut down the internet or whatever they're going to do. So I will be talking to you guys again in January. Have a great holiday season. I don't say that to be politically correct, but we have Christmas and New Year's, and those are holidays. Yeehaw. So have a good season. And we will talk to you next year in 2016. Enjoy the apocalypse.